Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I can be very happy living a low-cost lifestyle, and that gives me joy. It makes me feel more comfortable, and it also allows me to spend money, which in the areas that are more important to me, like traveling and spending time with my friends and family. Hello, and welcome to Planacials Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here solo tonight, and I wanted to talk to you all about my vacation. I just got back. We traveled for 2.5 weeks. And so we asked you all if you were interested in hearing how I planned for this vacation and budgeting tips, and everyone said yes. So we didn't say yes. This is what I figured I would chat about with y'all tonight. And so before we dive into it, I wanted to ask if you could do me a huge favor. And if you like the show, it would help us incredibly to continue to grow the show by sharing the podcast with a friend. So if you like it or love it, and you have a friend who you think would also like it, please send the podcast along. The more people that know about it, it helps us grow. And then also you can subscribe or follow depending on whether you're listening, what platform you're listening. I know for a fact you can subscribe and follow on Spotify and Apple. And also you can rate us on Spotify and you can rate and review us on Apple. And it would make me so happy if not only you could share the podcast, but if you could also subscribe and then rate us. It would help us tremendously. We love putting the podcast out, and we would love to see your support by sharing and subscribing and rating the podcast. Now, for our topic tonight is travel. When I travel, I love to listen to personal finance podcasts. So a couple of the podcasts I listen to on the plane is Ramit's podcast, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, and then also My First Million. So some other great podcasts if you want to listen. Ramit's is interesting because he interviews couples about their money. I only interview females because I'm trying to improve financial literacy and empowerment amongst women. Also, this is a podcast. I don't know if you know this, but it's produced by women. I have two wonderful women who work on the show with me who are complete dreams and could not do it without them. And so we produce this. It's all by women, for women. But I also love listening to other shows about personal finance. So those are the two shows I listened to on the vacation. And so I have a very good friend, and he is now married, but had his wedding in Sweden. And so to me, I like to spend my money on things that are the most important to me, and that is spending time with my family and friends and travel. So this was combining both of my favorite things, friends from college and travel. And so we planned this longer trip around the wedding. So the wedding was just this past weekend. And so we decided to go with a different set of friends up to Norway to ski to an area called we landed in Tromsø, and then we went up to the Lyngen Alps to stay in a lodge. We found this really incredible lodge. We, for our honeymoon, did a safari. I believe it to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And if you follow along, you'll know that I was absolutely terrified for the majority of the time. I drank a lot of wine to help calm my nerves. And so for me, it probably is a once-in-a-lifetime trip because I was a little scared, to be honest. I didn't realize how close you got to the animals. So this felt like another once-in-a-lifetime trip. I wasn't sure how I would fare. It was a backcountry skiing trip, which means if you're familiar with skiing, you normally go to a resort. There's this wonderful invention called the chairlift. It takes you to the top of the mountain and then you ski down. So this is a complete opposite of that. You go to a lodge, which is wonderful, very remote, and then you basically hike, but it's considered skiing. You're on skis. You ski up to the top, if you make it, and then you ski down. Now, some people hike up and ski down multiple times. I am not in that camp. I go up and I go down once, and then I'm ready for a glass of wine because I feel like I've earned it. Well, I definitely earned it. And so we looked for a lodge that provided what I would consider similar to a safari. They provide all of your meals. They provide the guides because you need to make sure you're with somebody, in my opinion, who knows the area, who has the avalanche training, and who can take you safely, because since it's not a ski resort, you're just out in nature. You want to be very careful from an avalanche standpoint. And so this lodge provided all those things, and it was definitely a splurge. It was a splurge part of the trip. We went for 4 nights and 3 days. And so some people go for a week. And so in my opinion, same thing with the safari, you can go for longer. We did 4 nights and 3 days. I thought it was plenty of time for a really unique experience. And so we saved a little bit of money, which I feel a little extreme to say we saved a little bit of money. It was an expensive experience. But I think it was well worth it given the experience that you did get. The experience started from the moment you woke up till you went to bed. It was an incredibly beautiful location. The food was incredible. I'm not a big eater. I wouldn't even say I'm a foodie. Food was to die for. I tried new foods that I had never tried because they looked so delicious. They had a sauna there, so you got done skiing sauna. And then they guided you on the resort. Not the resort. But they guided you on the mountain. Since it's not a resort, I felt like we really needed a guide. My husband did not feel like he really needed a guide, but for me to be safe or to feel safe, that was really important to me because we were in a new location. So we did that part of the trip, the expensive part of the trip, the most expensive part of the trip from accommodation all in matter was for not for a week, but for 4 nights and 3 days. I thought we got an amazing experience for that. And then we stayed at a hotel in Tromso. We hired a female owned guiding company, which I think is really cool. I'll actually link them in the show notes. I thought it was really incredible to meet a female business owner over in Norway. She's originally from Alaska and now owns a guiding company over in Norway up in the Arctic Circle, which is where we were, which is really cool. She hosted us for food and drinks over at her house the night before we left, which was really incredible. And so that was another great experience to do that. And that was obviously cheaper than staying in the lodge the entire time we were there. So we did, part of it was expensive. And then we did a little bit more budget friendly on the rest of the trip. We stayed in a nice hotel, in my opinion. For us, it was nice. And it included breakfast, which to me depends on where you're staying. But I always look to see if breakfast will end up being cheaper and easier at the hotel you're staying. Sometimes it's not that expensive to add. It depends. I will preface it with, really depends on the hotel that you're staying at. So sometimes it's a ripoff and it's like a $50 breakfast and it's not that great. And sometimes you're adding breakfast for like $15 US and it's like all you can eat, fresh fruit, you bring a snack for later, and it's totally worth it. And that was the case with our hotel in Tromso. Also, they had coffee and tea all day, which was amazing to me, because if I wanted to go sit in a coffee shop and drink coffee, that was going to be more expensive. So I spent one day, I sat in the hotel. I always like to find hotels that have a really nice common area because I don't want to be stuck in the room. For me personally, I knew I wasn't going to be able to ski every single day we were there. So I figured I'd walk around for part of the day, but I also like to sit with a good book and a cup of tea. And I sat in the coffee shop for part of it, but then the rest of the day I went back and drank tea for free in the hotel and sat in a beautiful chair with a great view and read my book and was happy as could be. But so those are certain things I look for in hotels, is like, I do find it's more common in Europe, like a good included breakfast with your stay and then a good common area so that if you're going for a longer period of time, you don't feel like you have to be out spending money if you just want to sit and read a book or relax for a little, which is exactly what I did. So that part of the trip, that's how we worked that out. We also just shopped around for car rentals to make sure we got a good deal. But I will say overall, the trip was a splurge, but those are the little things we did Then we went to Copenhagen. Copenhagen has a reputation for being one of the most expensive cities in the world. It 100% lives up to it. It is expensive, really expensive. And this is coming as a former Manhattanite, where usually when people say it's expensive, it doesn't faze me as much because I lived in Manhattan and Manhattan's expensive. But Copenhagen's a next level of expensive. Although I would highly recommend it. It has incredible food, incredible restaurants. It's beautiful. One thing we did in Copenhagen, which I would highly recommend, is the meals. Restaurants are expensive and food is expensive. And food has been, in my opinion, is very expensive everywhere at the moment, but especially in a city that's known for having expensive costs for food. We went into an empty wine bar, happened to be the owner that was there. I will also tag the wine bar because the wine bar was amazing if you go to Copenhagen. And he told us, we asked where we were going to dinner. We said we didn't have plans that night. He was like, oh, we have a really great app that locals use called Early Bird. And they basically, I want to say, if you remember Groupon, it's like Groupon for dinner. They have like a prefix dinner you can purchase in advance on this app. And I think a tasting menu dinner for two was $70. So it's quite a steal, because to give you a reference, like that would normally be like $250. So we did that twice in Copenhagen. So we did two dinners, regular dinners. One we did a la carte, which was cheaper. And we did one tasting menu. And then we did two tasting menus on Early Bird, which were incredible. And by the way, this wine bar owner booked it their first night for us. So we got in the car. We'd also had a couple of glasses of wine. And then we came back to Copenhagen after the wedding, which was spectacular. And we went on the app Early Bird. We booked it again, not realizing we booked the same restaurant that he had booked for us. So we went to the same restaurant twice. It was excellent. So we were happy to be there. But that was quite, I would highly recommend using the app. It saved us quite a bit for the dinners and gave us an incredible experience. And I would even recommend that restaurant we went to, because it's a traditional Danish restaurant and we had a great meal twice on the Early Bird app. But I think the most surprising thing I'll say on this pod is all these little things, right? Like finding out how the locals afford to eat there, which is this Early Bird app, which is amazing. Looking for hotels that have breakfast included, so you're saving a bit of money there, or you're knowing it's a fixed cost. You're not out finding out that breakfast is actually expensive, having to look for breakfast. We also brought our own snacks. We brought granola bars and stuff like that, so that we're not having to eat all the time. You have like your breakfast that's included with your hotel. You bring some granola bars for the afternoon, some snacks to hold you over. Maybe you stop for lunch, maybe you don't. Grab a pastry, depending, and then have a nice dinner. We ate lunch 1 or 2 days, and we ate lunch when we were at the lodge. But other than that, we didn't really stop for lunch. So all those little tips, you know, we brought our own water bottles. You fill up your water bottles so that you're not buying bottled water at every turn. All the hotels have coffee all day, so you're not buying coffee all day. My husband and I drink a lot of coffee. Besides all these little things, I think the key to how I budget it and plan for the trip really comes down to my overall budget and plan for the year. And so I hope you're not all cringing, but it really comes down to how I live my daily life. In my daily life, I have very low fixed expenses. So I don't spend a lot of money on housing. The company pays for my car. So I have utilities. Another big expense I have throughout the year is a ski pass that gets planned out. They have 0% financing option. So I pay for that throughout the year. I do the same ski pass every year, or change it a little bit, but for the most part, that seems consistent. That's one of my big expenses. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out. And so because my fixed costs are really low and I allocate, I'm going to say this and I don't know if I'm going to get some judgment for it, but I target a 50% savings ratio. So target saving 50%. And I divide that up depending on how the year goes. So I don't give myself a hard and fast rule for how my savings is going to go, except that I'm going to save. And so I do retirement first. I own my own company. We do not have a 401k. We're hopefully going to get that set up by next year. So my retirement is automated for the most part with a simple IRA. It comes out all the time. And then beyond that, I save two ways. One, I put money into a high yield savings account. I keep a certain amount of money in there. So at a certain point, it gets over. And so then that will go into investments. But I always keep a certain amount of money in the high yield savings account. Then if I'm beyond that, it goes into investments. Now, investments for the most part end up being the stock market, but it will depend. Sometimes I have opportunities that come up that interest me. And so instead of doing a stock market investment, for instance, this year, I think it was this year. I have to remember if it was this year. It was actually last year, the end of the year. Time flies. I believe it was allocated this year. But this year was real estate. And so I'm not putting as much in the stock market this year because I did a real estate investment. And so what I do is, since my fixed costs are so low, my savings ratio is so high, is I just pull it out of my general savings account and then replace it as my income replenishes it. And so what I do with my travel is if I were to say I can spend 5% of my overall income on travel, I just pull it out of savings the time we take a trip, if we take a trip, because I took a trip this year. Last year I took a honeymoon, and the previous years I didn't really take a big trip. We did one trip to Hawaii, which I used hotel points and miles. Or maybe we paid for flights, but the food was expensive. It was shockingly expensive in Hawaii, but that wasn't a very big investment trip, I will say. The honeymoon was, and this one was as well. I just paid for it. I didn't try and use airline miles. I didn't use hotel points. I just paid for the trip. And it is well below what, in my mind, I could spend 5% of my income on vacation. And this was below that. It was a lot more than I'm used to spending, or historically used to spending. But I'm just going to take it out of savings. I'm going to pay it off. I'll replenish my savings, and I'll still hit my target of 50% to savings. I try and do more if I can. I try to give myself some bandwidth for fun stuff or vacation. And so the real reason I was able to afford this vacation is because as my income has increased over the years, I haven't increased my lifestyle. So my housing costs have stayed really low. They're actually probably the same housing as my first year with the job back in 2006. And at that point, my housing cost was really high given my income. And now almost 20 years or 18 years later, my housing cost is the same. My income has changed dramatically. I think the reason I've been such a stickler about this for myself is because when I left corporate America to buy a business, I took a huge hit in income. And I will say, for those of you who have experienced it, when you go from making money and being comfortable to not making the money that you're used to up here, that move down in income can be, I don't want to say traumatic, but it's memorable for sure. And I never wanted to go back to a place where I was under financial pressure, because at the time I had bought the business, I was under extreme amount of financial pressure because I didn't want to lose my apartment. I wanted to maintain that. And it was very hard to pay for all the expenses and now run a business that had its own expenses and pay the loan for the business and manage all of these things. And so I was under a tremendous amount of financial stress for a few years. It wasn't even 6 months or 12 months. It was a few years. And it took multiple years to get back to my base salary that I was making at Wall Street. I want to say it was like almost like 3 or 4, if not more, to my base salary. And it took more years to get back to what I would have been at with bonus. And so I decided that I was never going to put myself under that type of financial stress again, because those of you who've been through it, it is traumatic to be under financial stress. It affects your entire life. If you were a friend of mine during that time, there were a lot of tears. Like, you would just ask me how things were going and I would just cry, especially if I had a glass of wine or two. I would definitely cry. And so I just decided that I was never going to do that again. This was a one-time shot. I was going to make the sacrifices and invest my time and energy, all of my time and energy, into this business and to grow it and to get my income back to where it had been in corporate America and then increase it beyond that. And so this has taken years. This is not by any means an overnight success. I've had the business for 11 years now. And so, but because that memory of coming from a really comfortable spot income-wise and going down so dramatically by buying a business, I said, I'm going to save 50% of my income. And I had always saved a lot of my income. I had always been pretty diligent about doing 20 to 30%. You know, when I worked in corporate America, I was always a very good saver. I did predominantly retirement, which was a blessing and a curse, because when I went to buy the business and needed money, I did not want to pull out retirement money. So even though I was financially strained and it was incredibly uncomfortable to the point where I rented out my apartment bedroom and would sleep on the couch while I had a friend renting the bedroom in order to make it work, and I did not cash paychecks. So I opened a 0% APR credit card and I would put expenses on the credit card. I had my friend rent my apartment from me for the majority of the rent. I paid a little bit so that I could have rights to sleep on the couch on the weekends. And it wasn't even every weekend, just so I could come back occasionally. I put expenses on a credit card. So it bought me some time. I didn't cash my paychecks, but I paid the taxes just so I didn't get trouble with the government. But because I had saved so diligently previously, but I did it predominantly in retirement, I didn't want to touch my retirement account to make the uncomfortableness go away. And so thankfully I hadn't saved that money in cash because I would have spent it. So my retirement stayed intact despite all of this. And I just made personal sacrifices to keep floating. And so once I recovered, once things got easier, because eventually they did get easier, I decided I was going to start saving 50% of my income. And I was going to keep my fixed costs as low as possible, because I'm a big believer money can come and go and that I might not always be so fortunate. And so I don't want my expenses to go up, because to me, that would put me in a position where I have a bad month or something happens with the business or something happens with me. And now I have all these fixed expenses. And then you start, in my opinion, you go through the emergency fund and then now what happens? So I just decided I can be very happy living a low cost lifestyle. And that gives me joy. It makes me feel more comfortable. And it also allows me to spend money, which in the areas that are more important to me, like traveling and spending time with my friends and family, which for me involves flying, because my friends and family live all over the country and world. And so I like the ability to say, oh, I have a great friend getting married in Sweden. I'm going to go to Sweden. And to me, that's the most powerful thing. And that's the reason I work so hard. And that's the reason I save money, is to be able to have financial security, have saved for retirement so that I am able to do that. And then to be able, the next priority for me is to be able to spend time with my friends and family and to take trips with them, because that's my priority. And that's more important to me than eating out, having meals delivered, having a big house, having multiple cars, whatever it is. My fixed costs are really low. My savings is really high. And it allows me to allocate, I would say maybe 5% of my overall income goes to vacation. And if it doesn't, if I don't even hit that number, then the rest all goes to savings. And then some years will take one vacation, some years will take two, and it'll even out. But the real way I was able to pay for a great vacation was really because of my daily, monthly living and setting those goals in advance in the beginning of the year. And so I think it's really hard not to get caught up with the societal expectation of, like, as you make more money, you get a nicer car. As you make more money, you get a bigger house. And that's great if that's what's important to you. But I think it's always important to remember that just because society's saying a bigger house defines success, that you really need to determine, like, what is enough for you and, like, what is success for you, and is your money really serving you and what your goals are? Because for me personally, I don't need to have the biggest house. I don't need to live in the best neighborhood. I don't need all those things. What I think is most important for me is having financial independence and autonomy to say, oh yes, I'd like to go take a vacation next month and I'm just going to take that out of savings. And that's not going to derail anything, because in my mind and in my budget for the year, I can spend 5% on my overall income on vacation. And that's fine, because I'll still hit a savings ratio of 50%. My fixed cost around 20, 25, depending if utility. We use the fireplace a lot because the fireplace is expensive. So anyway, I hope this was helpful. There are little things you can do. But I think the biggest thing you can do is, it's so important to sit down and figure out, how do you want your money spent? And is your money really serving the purpose? Like, to me, we all work for a reason, and everyone's reasons are different. So some people, it's to be able to send their kids to college or be able to help take care of their parents or to have a really big house with a gorgeous kitchen so they can cook all the time. Everyone has what's their motivator? And my motivator is travel and saving so that I don't have the financial stress that I had in my life at one point. And so I think it's important to sit down and say, if you're not in the situation you want to be today, what are the changes you need to make to get you there? And then remember, it just takes time, because I honestly hoped I'd be in this position, but when you're in the thick of it and you're making difficult decisions and you're under financial pressure, it does feel like it's not coming fast enough. But if you can make those short-term sacrifices and get a handle on your finances with time, nothing happens overnight, but with time, you can get to a point where your money is really serving you and you're not beholden to your money. So I hope this was helpful. And as I said earlier, if you like the show, please share it with a friend and follow and subscribe to the podcast. And as always, to find the most up-to-date information, you can follow along on Instagram, which is Future Rich Podcast. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.